Well, happy Easter, Open Door family. As you can see, the candle that we snuffed out on Friday night representing the death of Christ has been relit. Our Lord is risen. And I am not going to soon forget having to unlock the doors to our auditorium today and walk into an empty room. It breaks my heart that I can't worship with you on this very special day. But my hope is in the resurrection, and it's comforting that even though this is the weekend where we are experiencing the height of this deadly pandemic in our country, this is the very weekend where we remind ourselves of where our true hope lies. That our hope is not in this life, and that our hope is not even in longevity on this earth. Our hope is in the resurrection, that one day our bodies will be glorified, and one day this world will be redeemed. So today I want to take us from what's happening on this earth to the very throne room of heaven. Back in Revelation chapter 4, we saw that scene where the throne of God is emanating its radiant power and glory, and the royal angels surrounding the throne are declaring God to be worthy of all praise and honor and glory, and the four living creatures are declaring God to be holy, holy, holy. I want to take us from Revelation 4 now, where the stage has been set for the great drama that will take place in chapter 5, where a new song will be sung in heaven. And what we're going to see in Revelation chapter 5, that there is one and only one who is worthy to take the scroll and begin to open it up. And that, my friends, is Jesus Christ, who is our resurrected King. And he is worthy of heaven's worship. And so he must be worthy of ours as well. Revelation chapter 5, if you'll follow along with me. Children, if you're at home, this might be a good lesson for you to draw a picture of. And by the way, tell your mom and dad to send me that picture if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 5. Let's celebrate this Easter season by once again going back to the throne room of God. John writes, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on a throne a scroll that was written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open up the scroll and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open up the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" Now, the stage that was set in Revelation 4 opens up the drama that we're now seeing in chapter 5, to which the rest of the book of Revelation then will follow once this scroll is begun to be open. Now, John is being allowed to see and to experience the very throne room of our eternal God, the place where God's power and glory emanate. This is the very center of all essence, of all existence. This is where creation was spoken of, and this is where God rests and reigns. And John witnessed this. He witnessed the royal angels, the 24 elders surrounding the throne, bowing down constantly before God. He witnessed the four living creatures constantly flying around this throne room, declaring God to be holy, holy, holy. And as John witnessed this, suddenly he saw something like a scroll there at the throne of God, John describes the scroll was being held by the very right hand of God. Now, that is symbolic language. Our God actually is invisible. He doesn't have a human body, but the right hand symbolizes power and authority. And he was holding that scroll, this ancient book, if you would, which had writings on both sides. Now, contained within this scroll was how the end would be. The very revelation of God, of what was about to take place, was contained in the writings of that scroll. Both final judgment and final blessing were contained within. And then a very powerful angel appeared and with a loud voice shouted, "Is anyone worthy to step up to God's throne and take the scroll from him and open it up?" You see, God is at that point was willing for his sovereign plan for the end of time to be revealed. But no one was willing to step up and take the scroll. No one was worthy. Now think about this. If no one was willing to take the scroll, if no one was worthy to begin to remove the seals and reveal what the end would be, how would we have any hope that God's plan for our final redemption would be fulfilled? How would we know if God's purposes for justice and blessing would ever come to pass? How would we know that at some point in time, all the wrongs that have been committed would be made right? How would we know that wickedness and evil that has happened since the fall would ever be corrected? How would we know that the church would eventually be redeemed from its trials and tribulation? I mean, how can we make sense of living in a fallen world? How could we make sense of things like a worldwide pandemic? How can we make sense of our life and our death in this world if there was no hope for our future? You see, this scroll contained the plan of God, and yet no one was worthy to take it. The scroll had to be opened, but no one responded, not even any of the 24 royal angels, these elders that spent their days and nights around the throne of God. None of them were worthy. None of the four living creatures, these holy cherubim that were constantly surrounding God's throne, declaring him to be holy, none of them were willing to step forward as well. I mean, who would be pure enough to stand and look at God face to face? Who would be powerful enough to be able to stand before the radiant majesty that was emanating from God's throne room and not be destroyed? Who would be holy enough to stand before a holy God and be the one who would reveal his future? There was none in that moment who saw themselves as being worthy. I was reading this week about the powerful effect of the atomic bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima in 1945. I learned that at the very center of that impact, the people who were nearest to the explosion would have been immediately, literally blown off their feet by the power of the force that came from that bomb, and they would have immediately been incinerated by the 12,000 degrees emanating from that flaming ball of fire. That doesn't even compare to the radiant power and majestic glory that is coming from the throne room of God. And when the powerful angel asked, "Who is worthy to step up close to the throne and take the scroll?" Everyone in that moment knew they were not worthy. And we aren't either. At least not yet. And so John, he began to weep. He He cried as if he were in a period of mourning. He cried because he so desperately wanted for someone to be able to begin to read the scroll and release what was contained within. And as he was weeping then, one of the elders said to John, "Stop crying," to look at the throne. And when John gazed again at the throne room of God, now he saw someone. And the elders said to John, "Look, it's the Lion. The Lion from the tribe of Judah." This should have you recall Genesis chapter 49. "He is the root of David." This should have you recall Isaiah chapter 11. This Lion, the one who came from David, had now appeared there at the very throne room of God. And the elders said, "This is the one who overcame." Now, what did he overcome? Well, death, of course. On the cross, and because of the empty tomb, it was the resurrection that the elder was talking about. This elder was reminding John of Easter Sunday, when Jesus Christ overcame death. And I wonder in that moment if John recognized this Lion to be his friend, his master, his Lord and his Savior, his God, who is now there standing right next to God, because he is the one and the only one who has overcome sin and death. And in verse 6, John records, "And I saw then between the throne and the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all of the earth. And he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders all fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And there they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon this earth.'" So as John now is peering at the throne of God, the figure that he saw that represented the Lion, the king that came from David, now looked different in appearance. Now the Lion looked like a lamb, not just any lamb, but a Passover lamb. A lamb that had become a willing sacrifice, a lamb that was slain, a lamb that's blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. He saw the Lamb of God, who died for the sins of the world. John saw Jesus represented as our Passover lamb, our spotless sacrifice, who would die on the cross as our substitute. The Lion is also a lamb, born to be a king, dying to be our sacrifice to redeem us as his people, and resurrected in glory. And this lamb, as John saw now the image of Jesus Christ in glory, was bearing seven horns. Seven again is a symbol of completion, of fullness, and the horns represent power. Even power to destroy his enemy, which Jesus accomplished on the cross. And John also saw in this figure seven eyes that he describes as having the fullness of the Spirit. Again, we've seen that several times. This is simply an indication of knowing that the very fullness of the Holy Spirit was represented there when Christ stood next to the throne as the lion, who is also a lamb. And once again, at the throne room of God, John, he experienced the very fullness of our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the three who are one. And John then recognized that this is the one who overcame, that on the cross, Christ's royal victory came to us by way of a humble sacrifice. It was the Lamb that took away our sin, but it was a royal victory, both on the cross and at the resurrection. And as John saw this drama take place, and now Jesus Christ, who is the one, the only one who is worthy, he took the scroll. Something significant now is happening, because as Jesus takes from the right hand of God, again, that's a symbol of God's authority. Now, Jesus is the one who possesses all authority. And it reminds me of what Jesus said at the end of Matthew's gospel account. All authority has been given to me. And now John saw Jesus obtaining all authority. And then something incredibly dramatic happens. Whereas the elders surrounding the throne and the four living creatures had been spending day and night worshiping the one who sat on the throne, now in this moment, their worship shifts away from the Father and now to the Son. And these royal angels now, they fell down not before the throne of God, but they fell down before Jesus and they worshiped him. And it really was a moment of worship. John saw them break out their heavenly instruments and they began to play in celebration. And he saw the angels now symbolically offering up to Christ our prayers, so that in singing and in praising and in praying, now the heavenly angels were worshiping the risen Lord. And John says, they sang a new song, a new heavenly gospel hymn. And this hymn, it declared that redemption has come to us because Christ has purchased us with his shed blood. This heavenly hymn was a message of the gospel, because Christ not only purchased us with his shed blood, but he has purchased people from every tribe and tongue and nation. It was a hymn of praise. It was a hymn declaring Christ's salvation. It was a hymn of Christ's mission. And these angels, they sang, declaring that it took a king's ransom, the King of Glory, to be able to purchase us to be God's people. And these angels declared that the price that Jesus paid on the cross was worthy for an entire world. And they said that because we have been purchased by Christ, we now are being made into a kingdom of priests, a heavenly kingdom, a priesthood that now allows us, as sinful and humble as we are, it allows us, even now, even in this moment, to make our offering, our sacrifice of worship, straight to God through our mediator, who is Jesus Christ. Heaven sang in that moment, and they sang a new song, and they sang a song that the whole world needs to know, that Jesus died, he was buried, but he rose again. And it was a king who died on the cross that day, and that king has resurrected. The lion is also the lamb. And then John, in verse 11, he sees the drama just increase there around the throne room of heaven. And he says that then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands upon thousands, and they were all saying with a loud voice, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And then John saw every created thing which is in heaven and even upon the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things that are in the sea, and in them, he said, "I heard them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen," over and over, "Amen." And the elders fell down and they worshiped. This dramatic scene now extended to the entirety of heaven, and then to all of creation itself. Now there were multitudes of angels, multitude upon multitudes of angels, more than can be counted, and angels beyond compare. And they all began expressing their praise. They all began to give Jesus this sevenfold blessing of who he is and what he is worthy of. And then John saw the rest of creation fall into place and begin a chorus of praise and honor and glory to Jesus, who has established his everlasting kingdom. And from this point on in the book of Revelation, whenever the elders bow down to worship, we will see both God on his throne and next to him, the lion, who is also the lamb. Now the authority has been handed to Jesus as well. And we are going to see in the rest of our study how the future will be dictated by what the lion, who is the lamb, does as he opens each and every scroll. All of this happened because of the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, today, in our hearts and in our homes, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to remind ourselves exactly what the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he said, "If Christ had not been resurrected, then our faith would be futile. If Christ would not have been resurrected, then we would still be in our sins." If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, then we actually are to be the most pitied among all people. But then Paul reminds us, "But Christ did rise from the dead. Yes, he is the one who died, was buried, and he is resurrected." And that gives us hope. It is Christ who removed the sting of death. It is Christ who gave us the promise that one day we will be resurrected as well. It's hard for me to imagine this. one day we will be able to stand right there in the presence of God's throne and gaze at Him as Jesus is able to do. One day we also will bow and worship like the 24 elders and the four living creatures. We'll be there one day. And it's all because of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Jesus would not be reigning right now in heaven. Without the resurrection, we would not to have been made as a kingdom of priests. The resurrection gives us proof that Jesus is the Lion, the one who came from the tribe of Judah. Both the root, the foundation of David, and the shoot, the one that came from him. He is our King, and he is our Savior. So friends, on this Easter Sunday, I don't want us to worry too much as to how long this pandemic will last. You know what? It's all been written in the scroll. Jesus has taken it. And he is revealing now, and he will reveal in the future everything that is to take place. And it's all in God's good timing. And we can rest in that. And friends, even though this pandemic has reached every corner of the earth, so has the gospel. But the gospel is stronger, and the gospel is greater. Because the gospel can save our souls and our bodies forever and ever. And I just want to take a moment, because I know that maybe on this live stream, as you're watching, or maybe you'll watch this later, I just don't want to assume that everyone has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're watching today and you have yet to declare Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, if you have yet to give Jesus your life, if you have yet to bow as the angels in heaven have done and ask Jesus to save you from your sins and your failures, then I want to invite you on this very special day that you can be born again, your sins can be forgiven, and you can be sealed by God's Spirit to be a child of God now and forever. One day, you can reign with the rest of us saints by giving Jesus your life. And if you have done this, I hope you will email Open Door Church, call us, because we want to walk with you now in these precious first steps of what it means to be a Christian. Open Door Church, one day soon, we will be singing with the angels in heaven, declaring to the one that we have given our life to, the one that we have placed our faith in, all the power and the glory and honor. And just as those heavenly creatures are worshiping Jesus this moment, let's live our lives these next few weeks as if Jesus is worthy of our worship as well. Let's pray. Father, you and your Son are worthy. Jesus, you are the Lion and you are the Lamb. Today we praise you because you are the one who has overcome. You did die purchasing us on the cross, but you rose again. And you now have given us the promise that we are your kingdom, and that we will one day, when you return, we will reign with you on this earth. And Father, I pray, may that day come soon. May it come quickly. Father, would you also see a soon ending to this pandemic? Would you protect the lives of the elderly and the vulnerable? Would you grant us continued opportunities to serve others in our community, to love our neighbor, and to get the gospel out? And Father, we promise in return to give you and your Son all the praise and honor and glory that you are due. We pray this in the name of our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.